we can get our sisters and brothers on the streets of Washington saying that we're gay, we're proud, we're strong, and this year is the year.
We can't march up Main Street without jeopardizing our jobs, our homes, custody of our children. We can march in solidarity in Washington.
The response is in every city, people throwing flowers when we stopped off in Fort Wayne.
9:30 in the morning in Lincoln, Nebraska, for Christ's sake. You realize what's happening here?
The power of God is against you, Bill!
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Queer Mauritian youth fight their country's same-gender sex ban. Thugs attack pride events in Lubin and Budapest. And how 1979's first ever LGBTQ march on Washington found its way. Those stories and more this week now that you've tuned in to This Way Out.
I'm Wendell Jones.
And I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news interfacting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending October 5th, 2019.
Four young queer activists in the Republic of Mauritius are challenging their country's law against consensual adult same-gender sex. It's the palm tree-lined white beaches and turquoise seas that draw tourists to the tiny island nation in the Indian Ocean off the southeast coast of Africa. But do the tourists know that anyone convicted under Section 250 of the Mauritian Criminal Code Act of 1838 faces up to 5 years in prison? Nahib Ahmed Fokirbox is the lead plaintiff. He told the LGBTQ website The Ruston Times that LGBT people in Mauritius are your friends, family, and neighbors and deserve the same rights to have loving, caring relationships as everyone else. It's time to get rid of this colonial-era law, and we ask all Mauritians to support our effort. The four plaintiffs are all members of the Young Queer Alliance and come from Hindu, Christian, and Muslim backgrounds. They filed their lawsuit on September 30th. It argues that Section 250 is an unconstitutional violation of LGBTQ people's fundamental human rights and freedoms. Fokirbox told Reuters that many LGBT plus people and others do not want to come on holiday to a country where they cannot relax and be free. By scrapping the law, Mauritius will be telling the world that all people are welcome and they can come and be safe here. The case could take up to 2 years to litigate, but the plaintiffs are all ready for the long legal battle. Fokirbox admitted, "We know that homophobia won't end with the law being scrapped, but it's a step in the right direction." Death threats from conservative religious leaders and other homophobic groups forced the cancellation of Mauritius's annual Pride Parade last year.
Eggs, bottles, and flash grenades rained down on an LGBTQ Pride Parade in Lubin, Poland on September 28th. For the second year in a row, almost as many police officers were needed to protect the march as there were marchers. Organizers had advised Pride participants to hide any LGBTQ symbols while traveling to and from the event. Far-right nationalist protesters arrived carrying banners equating same-gender love with pedophilia. Police tear gas and water cannons dispersed the violent mob. 29-year-old filmmaker and parade organizer Bartosz Szczewski told Reuters that it's a horrific atmosphere we're living in. A similar scene took place in July in the Polish city of Bialystok. Pride marchers said that right-wing thugs beat them despite police protection. Poland is primarily Roman Catholic, and its ruling right-wing Law and Justice Party has a long history of stoking anti-queer fears. Ahead of the October 13th national elections, it's gotten even worse. The party calls same-gender love a threat to Polish identity, a successful rallying cry, especially with the party's conservative rural base. Analysts expect Law and Justice to win another parliamentary majority for 4 more years.
Homophobic far-right thugs burst into a community center in Budapest, Hungary, hurling homophobic epithets and shouting, "Stop LGBT propaganda." Budapest Pride was ironically scheduled to screen a short film about anti-queer bullying on September 26th. Organizers say that the violent invaders were given virtually free rein by police. That is until someone poured yogurt on a zero-tolerance banner being carried by one of the thugs. Pink News reported that the human rights NGO Hungarian Helsinki Committee has filed a formal complaint over the failure of officers to remove the protesters immediately. A statement by Budapest Pride vowed to replace the disrupted program sometime soon. They blamed Hungary's far-right president, Viktor Orban, for further inflaming anti-queer sentiment. Orban recently proposed a constitutional ban on gay and lesbian adoption.
The city of Ames, Iowa, will ignore a written request from the Trump administration to remove the pride-themed crosswalks at a busy commercial intersection. Two of the crosswalks are in rainbow flag colors, with brown and black added for inclusion. Another crosswalk has the trans pride flag colors of pink, blue, and white, and the fourth has stripes of purple, black, yellow, and white to represent gender non-binary people. The U.S. Department of Transportation's Federal Highway Administration demanded that Ames replace the queer colors with white-only crosswalk markings for safety reasons. Ames is the home of Iowa State University. City Attorney Mark Lambert advised the City Council this week to disregard the dictum. Lambert told the Ames Tribune that federal officials couldn't explain to me how they had jurisdiction over city streets.
Russia's so-called No Promo Homo law has once again been invoked to shut down queer activism. A court in St. Petersburg this week ordered two LGBTQ rights groups to disband for violating a law that criminalizes the promotion of gay propaganda to minors. It was signed by President Vladimir Putin in 2013. The Oktyabrsky District Court decided that postings on the Russian equivalent of Facebook by the Russian LGBT network and the Russian LGBT community deny family values, propagate non-traditional sexual relations, and cause disrespect to parents and other family members. The Russian LGBT community has more than 187,000 online members, according to Agence France-Presse. Russian LGBT network spokeswoman Svetlana Sarkorova complained that the court spends about 5 minutes blocking LGBT internet resources, and the decisions have identical wording. Network attorney Alexander Belik promised the Moscow Times that they'd appeal. He maintained that the ruling violates our right to freedom of information.
Just days before we mark the 40th anniversary of the first National March on Washington for Lesbian and Gay Rights, a first-of-its-kind National Trans Visibility March drew thousands to the U.S. Capitol on September 28th. Speakers focused on the crisis of brutal transgender murders, especially trans women of color. At least 28 trans people are known to have been killed in the U.S. so far this year. Philadelphia trans activist Alonda Talley told local D.C. TV station WUSA that, "Every morning I have to step out and worry about my safety. I would want somebody to be out here to represent me." The event came less than a week before the U.S. Supreme Court begins hearing three critical workplace rights cases. Those rulings will determine whether or not qualified LGBTQ people can be denied a job or fired simply because of their sexual orientation or gender identity or expression. Trans actress and activist Angelica Ross told WUSA that Congress needs to provide federal workplace protections for LGBTQ people. Ross said, "The Equality Act needs to be passed. All Americans should be free to live and to work."
The Oglala Sioux tribe has become the first Native American jurisdiction to enact hate crime laws to protect LGBTQ and two-spirited people. Indian Country Today says it could not find other laws specifying queer or two-spirit people anywhere else in the country. The Oglala Sioux Tribal Council approved the new statute in mid-September. It punishes hate crimes based on sexual orientation or gender identity or expression committed by any member of the tribe with up to a year in jail. The tribe's home is in the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota. The state itself does not include LGBTQ people in its hate crime laws. Native American tribes are not subject to federal law in some circumstances and have limited rights to enact specific laws governing their own lands. Out of 573 federally recognized tribes, the Oglala Sioux is one of just 35 that have opened marriage to same-gender couples. Felipa de Leon and her spouse, Monique Mosu, are both citizens of the tribe. They lobbied the council for both marriage equality and hate crime laws. De Leon told Indian Country Today, "I have children and grandchildren. I don't know how they will identify themselves when they grow up, but I want to know they will be safe."
Finally, two new $1 domestic base rate stamps are now available at a post office near you if you live down under. They commemorate the advent of marriage equality in Australia. One stamp features the traditional queer pride rainbow and proclaims the catchphrase chanted across the country during the 2017 postal plebiscite campaign, Love is Love. An overwhelming majority of Australian citizens who mailed back their ballots supported opening the civil institution to lesbian and gay couples. The other stamp says yes, with a design based on photos taken of a lesbian and a gay couple. One is in Melbourne. The other is at the announcement of the vote in a Sydney park that was recently renamed Equality Green. Co-chair of Australian Marriage Equality, Alex Greenwich, called it a historic stamp to mark an historic achievement. If you're a collector outside Australia, you can try to get the stamps online this month at auspost.com.au/stamps, while supplies last, of course.
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending October 5th, 2019. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazer and Marlena Bond, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can listen to News Wrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out Radio YouTube channel. For This Way Out, I'm Wenzel Jones.
And I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
I'm Reverend Troy Perry, and I'm listening to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ magazine.
I call for that march on the Day of Freedom in Washington, D.C., on the same spot where over a decade ago, Dr. Martin Luther King said, "I have a dream that is standing, a dream that is becoming an idea. We will be here."
The late, great San Francisco supervisor Harvey Milk may have been the first to promote the idea, or it may have started with what comic Robin Tyler originally intended as a joke.
The joke was going to be, "I think we should march on Washington. We'll set up tents. We know how gay men love camping."
Whatever sparked it, the idea of a mass demonstration in Washington, D.C. for the rights of LGBTQ people caught fire and spread across the United States. It was February 1979. There was no internet. Could it really be done? Representatives from dozens of local organizations gathered in the historic city of Philadelphia to answer that question.
"We need to march on Washington. I don't really give a damn about the legislation. They're not going to give us our bill. But what we can do is we can get our sisters and brothers on the streets of Washington saying that we're gay, we're proud, we're strong, and this year is the year."
I represent the Southern Vermont Lesbian Gay Men's Coalition and the 4,000 Sisters from Brattleboro, Vermont. Brattleboro area has a population of 40,000. We can't march up Main Street without jeopardizing our jobs, our homes, custody of our children, etc. We can march in solidarity in Washington.
I've seen in the short time that I've lived in Washington, D.C., the incredible number of protest marches. I've learned that to have a really significant one, it has to be incredibly well done, incredibly massive.
For a lot of people in a lot of places in this country, a march is not a reality for them. North Carolina is a real oppressive state. I think it's real important for us to celebrate our power as gay people and lesbians together, to actually get on the national media, make it into Time Magazine, and those people in Wilmington, North Carolina will see that.
We simply will not see the kind of numbers that we talk about. It's nice to say, as some of the speakers have said, 500,000 people, 200,000 people, but saying it doesn't give them to us. We must show that we are a force to be reckoned with. I could not agree more. What I am afraid is that we will show that we are a force not to be reckoned with, and it will take us years to recover from that.
We have a terrific gay population in Woodstock. When we said to them, "How about a national march in Washington?" we got energy for the first time this year. And they can't hold out. We're the kind of rural population where a lot of those people don't even go down to New York City. We have a woman 73 years old who's never been to New York City, and she's never been to a march, and she told us to come down here and give them hell, you know? And we're hoping we'll get her down, but maybe we won't. Maybe we won't get thousands and thousands of gay people who would like to come. Maybe we won't get them for 10 or 20 years. But we have to get who we can. We have to get him now. We have to keep our energy up now.
I think there is something basically wrong with getting up on January the 1st and say, oh, what are we going to do this year? It is time that this movement considered itself serious enough to continue the rent past a one-year lease. Let's don't find ourselves in this situation anymore, running out of time, running out of hope, wishing, wanting, but can't do. That's ridiculous.
This is what the delegates decided.
Correspondent Bill Bogan.
There will be a march on Washington on October 14th, 1979, not in 1980, as a sizable minority position recommended.
What we really want to do with this march is build a national consciousness around gay oppression. Freedom is never given to anybody, and unless we continue in our effort without putting our energy and our direction into a further action, a further effort, we will not get our freedom because nobody's going to give it to us.
We shall.
If the march draws hundreds of thousands of lesbians and gays and their supporters, then surely the gay rights movement will stand out as one of the major social change movements in the 1970s. We are, after all, in the dull 70s, the non-activist 70s, home of the me generation. Social awareness is supposed to be out. Preoccupation and fascination with self is in. March be large? Yes, if people come out of the closet. Yes, if people come out of the discos, and if they take the issue of social change as seriously as did the conference delegates.
This is Janice Ian, and you're listening to This Way Out.
After the decisive meeting in Philadelphia, the 1979 National March on Washington for Lesbian and Gay Rights took off like wildfire.
The question of the day is, are you going to Washington, D.C.?
If I have to walk on my hands to Washington, I'm going to be there.
At a time when there was virtually no queer visibility in many parts of the country, a group of marchers who traveled to Washington by train experienced the journey of a lifetime.
All
aboard! The mood was festive aboard the Amtrak Freedom Train as it left the Oakland, California terminal, carrying some 75 lesbians and gay men to Sunday's National March on Washington for Lesbian and Gay Rights.
The journey on the train has superseded my expectations many times over. I really am enjoying the sense of community, as short-lived a community as it will be, just, you know, less than a week.
I can't say the word. I can't find, I don't know the word to say. It's been wonderful.
What's your name?
Dennis.
How long have you been working the railroad, Dennis?
Oh, about 30 years.
This is going to be a trip you're going to remember.
Oh, I remember this trip for real. I didn't really get this trip.
I like the political interaction between the men and women. I'm real impressed with that. I'm seeing more and more of it, and I'm real involved in politics, and it's nice to be able to talk to men about politics.
Only thing I can say, I haven't slept much on this whole trip. I think we're probably all excited enough to where it is not bothering us that we haven't slept for 2 days now.
I appreciate the fact that we're not alone on this train, as we are not alone in the rest of the world. We have to talk to these people, and that's why we're going to Washington.
Jesse, is there anything you can compare this crowd to in your experience on the train?
Lovely, lovely crowd. I had some nice crowds, but this is the most loveliest crowd I've had.
How long have you been working the railroad?
31 years. Still, people got nothing but compliments from all other people. Looks like they made that trip more happy. Their eyes are open more now, I guess.
Well, it's like one big family, and I didn't expect that. Because I'm not out that much, I didn't know what to expect, really. But it's like everybody knows each other, and it's a great feeling. I love it.
We are calling. Heaven knows where we are going. We'll know we're there. We will get there. Heaven knows how we will get there. We know we will.
Thursday morning, Ogden, Utah.
This is the worst sin in the Bible.
What is this?
God's going to have somebody that's going to tell you devil the truth.
What is this? The worst sin in the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
Where?
Well, you
read the verse in Scripture.
You read the Bible.
I have read the Bible. I've read Romans 1, 26 through 28, 1 Corinthians 6, 9, 1 Timothy 1, 9 through 10. Listen, it was the story because God couldn't find 10 righteous people in it, period. That's what the Scriptures say. Nothing to do with homosexuality.
Homosexuality is the worst sin in the Bible.
Well, we're on our way to Washington, D.C. to demand our rights, and we're going to Washington.
You have no rights.
Yes, we do.
You have no rights.
There was a time when you were told as a black you didn't have rights.
You have no rights. You have no rights. You're
a black George.
You have no rights.
We do.
The only rights you have is a turn to the Lord. The power of God against you. My name is Reverend Robert L. Harris.
Mighty right.
I go looking for that. I'm the first black elected official in Utah, the only one.
We heard you planned to throw yourself on the tracks. Is that something that you still plan to do, that they're going to allow you to do?
I've already done it. I laid on the tracks, yes.
But you did it as a gesture. I mean, you're not going to threaten your life by the train, are you?
No, I'm not going to threaten my life. I just doing this to let them know we don't appreciate them being here. God is against you.
You have homosexuality.
The power of God is against you.
It will be hard, we know.
Mountain News, besides the incident in Utah, have you had fairly good response?
I think very good response. Even with the incident in Utah, it's been good.
Speaking at the whistle stops is the Reverend Troy Perry, founder of the Worldwide Metropolitan Community Church.
What I think we've tried to do is to take the train into smaller towns in America and say there's gay people.
And lesbian activist and comic Robin Tyler.
We're doing outreach so that people that cannot come to Washington that are working or grassroots people, that we want them to know that we're interested in them. This isn't a movement that just takes place in San Francisco, New York, Washington, the major cities. So they're coming out all over America.
Lincoln, Nebraska, 2:45 a.m. Friday, October 12th.
I don't believe it.
What are you people doing up at this hour of the morning?
Come out. Bring everybody out. Oh,
we got a sign. We want you to take this as Lincoln.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
It's amazing. It's 3:30 in the morning in Lincoln, Nebraska, for Christ's sake. You realize what's happening here?
It's great to realize that the 60 of us on this train are carrying the spirit of all the places we stopped throughout the nation, because no matter where we've stopped, there has been at least one person coming out. Now tonight, 30 people in Lincoln, Nebraska, coming out at 3:30 in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, to support us and give us their flag to carry in the march. It's fantastic.
People in Chicago have put together a rally. I understand that they've gotten permission for us to use Daley Plaza.
The response is in every city. People throwing flowers when we stopped off in Fort Wayne, and people getting up at 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock. They had to get up in Salt Lake to get to Ogden at 6.
We have been discriminated against in penal institutions and mental institutions, and science has told you you're sick, and religion has told you you're sinful, and it ain't never going to happen again because we are no longer victims. We are the largest minority of people in the United States, and we are survivors now.
The Union Station in Washington, D.C. The Freedom Train has just arrived this moment, and the passengers are about to disembark, and here they are!
And here comes the National March on Washington for lesbian gay rights.
We are everywhere!
What disturbed me was to pick up a Washington Post and see 25,000, and pick up a New York Times and see 75,000, and listen to the local news that's at 125,000. I think we have to teach straight people how to count.
What happened when the first ever national LGBTQ march came to Washington? You'll hear lots of on-scene coverage of the event and its aggravating aftermath later this LGBTQ History Month on This Way Out. For a copy of the entire hour-long documentary about the October 1979 National March on Washington for Lesbian and Gay Rights via download or CD, visit thiswayout.org. Thanks for discovering This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Tanya Kane Perry and Wenzel Jones, produced by Brian DeShazer and Marlena Bond. March on Washington reporters included Bill Bogan, Jock Church, Joan Sprague, and Art Ayrton. Margie Adam and Art Garfunkel performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, Christopher Matthews, Richard Merck, and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley, and all of the listener donors who make this program possible, including you, we hope. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening. Online at thiswayout.org and on WLRILP, Christiana, Pennsylvania, KEOS, College Station, Texas, 2CCC, Gosford, New South Wales, and a wide array of community radio stations and other outlets around the world, including this one. Please stay tuned.